G20 leaders meeting in Hamburg this week will receive a communique from 200 religious leaders, scholars and diplomats urging reform of the UN Refugee Agency. Delegates to the G20 Interfaith Summit say the UNHCR needs to involve more faith-based groups in its relief work. They're calling too for a crackdown on government corruption, which they say is aggravating efforts to end famine in Africa and the Middle East. Andrew West was at the summit in Potsdam and he met the group's spokesperson, Catherine Marshall, from Georgetown University.
Well, the debate has been going on for the past years as to whether the humanitarian system is broke, meaning that they're out of money, or whether it's broken. And I find persuasive the arguments that it's closer to being broken and needs some fundamental redesign. One of the issues is who's included. And it is very striking, looking purely from the religious perspective, that so much of the action that's visible, that is where the money is being channeled, is focused on Christian organizations because of the history of where those kinds of organizations come from. But the vast majority of people who are in need are not Christian, are of other religious traditions. And so bringing in some of the countries and the organizations, broadening to what we call sometimes new actors, even though they've been there for a long time, is a very high priority.
Catherine, the other main area where the Interfaith Summit wants to act is the famine emergency in Yemen, I think South Sudan, Somalia, and indeed Nigeria. If it's about famine relief, why does it matter if the UN or the African Union or a faith-based organization does it?
First, finding the money to pay for the food is a critical and immediate issue. In Yemen, the estimate is that every 10 minutes a child dies. So it's a very urgent matter, and it has a very compelling moral argument. And who better than faith organizations to articulate and to make that demand to the world's leaders? The second is that in practice, there are deep traditions of commitment to ending hunger, which is also a sustainable development goal, zero hunger, within virtually every religious tradition. So there are, in practice, soup kitchens, feeding programs, support to people in need all over the world. And we know not anywhere near enough about what is happening. There are also very large organizations, World Vision, Samaritan's Purse, Islamic Relief, Caritas, which are deeply involved in providing food in refugee camps, but also in the poorest communities.
One of the things that always complicates a famine, the likes of which we're seeing in the Horn of Africa, is very bad governance. I want to ask you about some work that you have been doing at Georgetown University. You did a report where you write that the battle against corruption and for good government, in that battle, faith communities can be mobilized to bring solutions. How can religious people stamp out government corruption?
We talk about countering violent extremism or identifying the draw of extremist groups today. It is very much related to grievances, which include anger at corruption. So in thinking about this complicated problem with its intricate religious threads of extremism, corruption is an important part of it.
That's Catherine Marshall, spokesperson for the G20 Interfaith Summit. Andrew West was there, and you can hear Andrew's final report from the summit on the Religion and Ethics Report this afternoon at 5:30 right here on RN. You can also find it, of course, on the ABC Radio app, which I keep telling you about, or wherever you get your podcasts.